I'd like to thank Professor Shapira for what we hear the term state of the art. I think that was a state of the art lecture, and I'd like to thank him on behalf of us all. What we'll be going on to next is questions and answers. If I could ask Professor Shapira, perhaps he's been standing for 50 minutes to take a seat here. We have a number of microphones. There are set microphones along the side and in the middle. And we have two people holding microphones who'll be able to go to you if you would like to ask a question. My name is Conor Maguire. I'm a consultant in the Western General, and I'm chairman of the Lothian Parkinson Service Advisory Group. And we are the stakeholder group, including all the senior professionals representing therapy services, neurology, medicine for the elderly, the Parkinson's nurses, Parkinson's UK, and the Edinburgh branch, who meet together regularly and put forward the case for services for people with Parkinson's in Lothian. That's just saying who I am. To mention where I met Professor Shapira for the first time, I can get one up on Siddhartha, and it was in Florida at a meeting many years ago. We were working extremely hard and had no time for sunshine or anything like that. If you are going to ask a question and you go to one of the microphones, you have to press a button so it lights up. A red light comes on. It's the same for Professor Shapira here. Does anyone have a question to start with? There's a question in the front row here. Oh, well, we'll start up here and then we'll come down to you. There's a question in the back row. So we'll make sure that we can hear you first. It'll automatically be on.
Yes, thank you very much for that lecture. That was very interesting. Is there a link between Parkinson's and prostate cancer at all? It seems that I've known several people over a period of time that have the two. I'm wondering if they're linked. Thank you.
Well, that's a very good question. I think people have looked at this. Generally speaking, it's interesting that patients who do develop Parkinson's disease tend to have a slightly lower risk of developing cancers. And the difficulty, of course, is that prostate cancer is very common. And particularly as men get older, the risk of it rises significantly, the same as with Parkinson's disease. So the difficulty is that very often, purely by chance, there'll be an association between the two because A, Parkinson's disease is slightly more commoner in men, and B, it's commoner as people get older. So I think you tend to see the two together, but they're not causally linked, nor linked in terms of a direct association as far as we know.
Another question about a link. I was connected to the Alzheimer's Society for a long time, and they talk about Lewy body dementia. And we had a lecture from someone from Aberdeen recently saying that there was a risk of dementia in people with Parkinson's. Can you talk about the link? Is there a link? How do you feel about this?
Yes, well, that's another very good question. And there is a link. And a proportion of patients with Parkinson's disease are at risk of developing memory problems. I think that there is probably a difference between Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. So the type of memory problems and so on that patients with Parkinson's disease is slightly different, but there is a link. And you mentioned Lewy body disease. So diffuse Lewy body disease is, or Lewy body dementia is its other name, is different from Parkinson's disease in the sense that the memory problems start either before or very, very soon within 12 months of the Parkinson's disease. So it's very different from regular Parkinson's disease. But what is interesting is that that disorder has very high levels of alpha-synuclein in the brain, the so-called Lewy bodies. That's why, hence its name, Lewy body. And what is interesting is that the treatments that people are looking at to slow Parkinson's disease down may well be very effective in that as well. We don't think, of course, it might be a nice surprise, but we don't think that they'll be effective for Alzheimer's disease. But nevertheless, if they're effective for Parkinson's disease and Lewy body disease, that will be very important. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The period of time between exciting research and actual approval and the availability of therapies is notoriously long. Do you have any reason to believe that 2017 is a realistic target for actual therapies which use some of the research which you've been talking to us about?
Well, I'm very confident that in only 3 years, none of the therapies that we've been talking about will be available in 2017. But I think what is exciting is that the pace of change has accelerated so much, particularly in research, and research which is focused on the pathways and the potential targets for which we can direct drugs. So that has really accelerated beyond imagination, I think, over the last 5 years. So I'm optimistic that maybe in 2017, we will really have some very interesting drugs and targets. And some of those pathways, the last two I showed you, the alpha-synuclein pathway and the GBA pathway, has attracted a huge amount of industry interest. Now, you're absolutely right. It can take 20 years to take a drug from lab to surgery. But the licensing authorities recognize this now, and they understand that the longer they keep these drugs back, the more money has to be spent, the more suffering there is. So they are looking at ways to accelerate the development of drugs. Of course, this has to be done to ensure safety for patients. But they are looking at ways, and I think this is, we're seeing this in some of the other disorders like Huntington's disease, where drugs are coming on the market to be tested much quicker. And I think that is going to happen for Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's too.